Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Good evening, church family. I'm glad that you're with us this evening, that you're watching. If you're a friend of our ministry or a guest of our ministry, I'm glad that you're watching too as we are doing our Sunday evening devotional tonight. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 46, Psalm number 46. We're going to be there in just a moment. I just want to share a little bit of a testimony with you as we get started. I guess it's a form of a testimony. But before I forget, I was up here, I actually just, we've been recording our main services to be put online, and I just did our morning service just a few minutes ago, and now I am doing our evening service now, and in between, I happened to find something important, and I wish I could share it with you, even though I can't. But I found this, and if you know, if you're part of our church, then you know what this is, especially if you're part of our adult Sunday school class. If you're not part of our church, you should become part of our church, if nothing else, to just know what this is. No, I'm just kidding. This is a candy box that John Tigner uses in adult Sunday school to reward our adults as they get memory verses. We say, who says kids are the only ones that can get candy for different things in class? And so I came across this. It's actually pretty late at night right now, and this was good. I quoted a memory verse, and then I took a pack of Smarties. How about that? And as soon as we come back, we'll fill it with special candy ready for that day. But I wish I could throw candy to you through your screen. Our camera's brand new, so I'm not going to try that tonight. But that was just something, a little memory of home. And another testimony from my part, that wasn't my testimony, another testimony on my part and a blessing to me that God used this week. Many of you came in and gave me, in a way, a sense or a reminder of home as well. I will have showed you by now on our live fellowship this morning. Many of you came in and placed pictures and notes and papers with your names on them around our auditorium in the seats that you typically sit in. And that has been more encouraging than you know. One, because I was able to see several of you as you came in this week, and I got to just speak to you for a few minutes, and that was exciting. Anytime that you want to drop by during the week and we're here and you want to talk, feel free to do that. We can do it in a social distancing way and obviously less than 10 people. But that has been an encouragement to speak to a lot of you in person this week. That has been a joy. And then to look around the auditorium and to see familiar faces. And luckily nobody did anything too distracting that I see as far as faces go. But from all the way from one side to the other, it's been an encouragement to me to see the people that we call our family, our church family. And so I appreciate and thank you for doing that this week. It means a lot. I'm praying that we get to, we can leave the pictures up all year. I don't really care about that. I would love to see you sit in the seat where your picture is, and I'd love to see that soon. I'm praying that God gives us that opportunity as absolutely quickly as possible, in whatever fashion or way that it needs to be. We are praying about how we can meet in small groups, even of 10, as we're allowed to at the moment, having those spread out over several days. If it gets raised from there to other smaller numbers, we'll have smaller Bible studies and services. But I'm excited and encouraged to see these. It has been an encouraging week or finish to the week in a number of ways. God's done several different things. I won't even get into all of them tonight, but He's done several things in my life personally this week to just encourage me and remind me that He is in control, and remind me that He cares, that He deeply cares and is personal with each one of us. The first couple weeks that we did this, not meeting in person, were pretty crazy and pretty hectic at times. We went from not streaming or putting our services on video and not putting those online on video to completely doing that, only doing that. And so there were some technology things that had to be implemented and some things that needed to be learned. And so there was a lot of different things put into that and some work put into it. On top of, I was already transitioning as a pastor and still doing a number of the things that I was doing beforehand. And so it was just sort of my mindset in a sinful way, most likely. I asked the Lord to forgive me for it. My mindset was just sort of, if I buckle down and just go at it hard, we can get this all done. But the truth is, we still need the Lord. And for a couple weeks after that, the couple middle weeks really, I had a couple little health issues, nothing that was too big a deal now looking back at it, just some reaction to some different things and stuff. And I've had some issues with some different things in the past, and it made those 2 weeks very long, and it made them very hard, I guess you would say, to enjoy other circumstances, like preaching or coming in and doing some of the things that we're doing online. And the Lord has brought me through all of that and used this week to remind me, obviously, that He's in control, that He will carry us, as we heard sung this morning, that He will hold us fast. And so that's just me pouring out my heart a little bit to you this evening as we get started. And I pray that God is working in your heart in some way, that we're listening to Him. Tonight's passage, it's going to sound familiar to at least one of you. And I'll tell you why as we get started. I looked around and there's several notes left for myself and for other staff members around the auditorium. There's pictures and little messages on the pictures. Some of you put notes or verses or things of encouragement toward our church and toward myself, toward our congregation. And so I'll show you some of those as well. But one in particular, and she's had a big part in the services today, actually. Veronica Rosso sang our special this morning. I'm going to reference that a little bit later. And then on her family sheet, I guess it's Veronica or Paul. It looks like Veronica's handwriting. It's a little neater, I think, than maybe Paul's is. Or a little girlier, I'll say. More ladylike. So I'm guessing that it's Veronica's handwriting, but it says, you know, the Rossos. and it talks about their family and that they love, you know, love our church and different things. And at the bottom, they put Psalm 46. And this afternoon, they were actually here. I was speaking with them a little bit as they record, Veronica recorded her song. And then they left and I saw that on there and I thought, I'm gonna read that. You know, it was important to them. And, I'm gonna read through that passage. It's been something that's encouraged to them. And God used it in my heart just as I read through it. And so tonight, that's what we're gonna look at. We're gonna look at Psalm 46. A few weeks ago, we used passages of scripture that had encouraged you and we put them all together and that was our sermon. You wrote the sermon that night. And then tonight, one of our members picked the passage for our sermon. And so, it's a personal touch to tonight. Oh, so let's look there very quickly this evening, if we would. Psalm 46. And if you would look in verse number 1. And we're going to begin reading there. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof, whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Father, thank you for this passage and for bringing us to it this evening. I thank you for using one of our members to bring this passage to light for the evening. I thank you for using our church family to encourage myself and to encourage others. I know that as people came in to place their signs, they saw pictures of others and it was encouraging to them. Some that have checked up on each other this week and others that have been serving the Lord even in the midst of all of this. So we ask that you place in our hearts and minds what we can do for your glory. But in doing that, help us to realize that you are our refuge, that only you are our shelter and strength. Help us as we look for a few moments at this passage, at your words to us, that we would understand and know that you speak to us, that you're personal to us, and that you have something tonight that you want us to see. We pray that you would teach us to love you, to hate what you hate, to love what you love, and to grow in you. And we pray this in your precious name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you have your Bible there and you look at Psalm 46 tonight, we're going to break this down into four groups. And it's sort of already broken down into those groups in a way. And we're gonna look at these by some descriptions of things that we see about God in this passage. One of my favorite ways to read the Bible. There's all different ways that you can study a passage, but one of my favorite ways to study a passage is just to take a sheet of paper and write out, what did I learn about God? What did I learn about myself from this passage? And then what did I learn that I need to change to be more like my God? And when we do that, sometimes it reveals how far we are from our God, how much different we are from what God has called us to be in being like Him. And so tonight, I want to look at this passage just for a moment. If you would, look first at verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3, and they show us tonight, number 1, God's protection. God's protection. I want you to see again, God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble. Our very present help. Sometimes we feel like God is a distant help. like God is, well, call me if you need me kind of help. But he's not. He is there and he is with us. He is constantly at our side. He envelops our entire life. He is constantly personal and caring toward us. Look at verse 2. What should our reaction be because of that? Because God is our refuge, because he is our strength, because he is present always, our help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear? Though the earth be removed from us, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Even though bad circumstances come. I don't know about you, but the earth disappeared from under us. If the mountains shook, if waters roared around us, and if the very mountains shook and disappeared from around us, if we were there, it would cause fear in us. But he says, though all that happened, we know that God is still in control. And God's protection, when we think about it, we think about it this way. God's protection is not in better circumstances. God's protection is not in helping us to avoid things. God's protection is not in keeping us from all trouble and harm. God's protection is that he ultimately keeps us in spite of harm, in spite of trouble, and in spite of circumstance. Our hope and our protection is not in our circumstance or the changing of our circumstance. Our hope and protection is in God. And one thing that God may be trying to teach us through all that is going on in our world and in our lives is that we can't rely on everything that is going around us. We can't rely on the physical things that we have in our daily lives. We don't even rely on our health for our own protection. We rely on God and God alone, that God protects and keeps our souls eternally. I want you to look at the second set of verses here. We see God's protection. And then, before we get there, look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8 very quickly. I'll give you a cross-reference verse that will tie us to our message from this morning. Romans 8, verse number 32, speaking of God, look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Thinking about the crucifixion of Jesus this morning and how he bore our wrath and how that God let his son die in our stead. If God shed the blood of his own precious son, what makes us think if he would give and not even withhold his son as a sacrifice for us, what makes us think that he's going to keep from us anything else that we may need in him? So we see God's protection. The second set of verses, we see God's pleasure. Notice the change of tone. Verse number 4. 2 and 3 talk about roaring mountains and waters and the earth falling apart. But in verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Notice how it describes being in the presence of God. That though all around is raging, there is a river and there are streams of mercy that we find in our God. There is a river. Verse number 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early, he's talking there about his city or the place of his presence. Those that dwell in his presence, God is in the midst of them. He will help. And he does so early. God gives pleasure. God gives satisfaction. God gives exactly what we need. He provides for us. He gives us, when we say pleasure, don't think about the word pleasure in a sense of entertainment or what I may indulge and enjoy, but pleasure is simply satisfaction in God. I need nothing else. Have you ever had a circumstance in which you felt it was impossible to enjoy anything? I mentioned a moment ago a few little health issues that I had, and in those moments, it's hard to enjoy anything else that goes on around you. My kids are laughing and playing, and I want to be with them, but in that moment, it's like it's just so hard to put out of your mind and the anxiety and the trouble that is in your body physically. It's hard to think about anything else in those moments. And sometimes we focus so much on the circumstances of life that we lose pleasure in our God. We focus so much on the circumstances of life that we don't feel that we're partaking God's pleasure, that we're not satisfied in God because we're seeking satisfaction in our circumstances. We are in the presence of God. And God's joy, I wrote it this way, God's joy cannot be stolen, but it can be lost. It can be given away by us. Nothing can steal your joy in God if that's where you place your trust and that's where you find your satisfaction. But God's joy can be lost when we seek satisfaction in other things. So God gives us enough mercy for each and every day. God gives us enough mercy. He gives us mercies new every morning, and those mercies never run out. They never fall short of what we need in each day. We see God's protection, God's pleasure, and then look at the third set of verses, God's power. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. God's power, his word, carries forever. Nothing, I wrote it this way, nothing in this world can stand up against our God. Nothing so far that we've studied in this passage would matter if God was not powerful enough to work these things out. It doesn't matter that God has pleasure, and it doesn't matter that God has protection if he doesn't have the power to carry those things out. But think of it this way, nothing that stands against you can stand before God. You think about that? Nothing that stands against you can stand up against God. So we see God's power, his protection, his pleasure, and then we finally see in the last few verses God's purpose. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So what's the purpose in God's protection and his pleasure and his power? Yay, this is great. We're going to have a great life. But it's not about us. It's not about, well, I have God's protection and his pleasure, so my life is going to be perfect. My life is going to be just filled with me. No, notice, God's protection, God's pleasure, God's power are for God's purpose. And what is it? He says, be still and know that I am God. And in knowing God, he says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. A Christian that finds their protection in God and finds their pleasure in God, and find that God's power is sufficient, will display God's purpose, which is ultimately for his glory. When you find your satisfaction in God, it glorifies him. When you trust God for protection, it glorifies him amongst the world, amongst all that come around us. When we find God's power to be enough, it brings God glory. And as we think about this passage tonight, we will be kept safe in Christ for all time for God's glory. Stop. Be still, it says. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. I want to finish tonight by reading to you the song that we heard this morning. I want to read to you the lyrics. And in fact, Veronica left these here today, so if you want your music back, Veronica, you'll have to come get it and sing the song again. If you didn't get to hear it this morning, I hope that you'll go back and you'll listen to it. But here's the words to this song. When I fear my faith will fail, you feel like that recently? Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, Christ will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path. And I love this phrase. For my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. Even when I grow cold against the Lord and lethargic and indifferent to him, it is him that protects me even from my own desires. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. Christ bought us. His purchase is complete. For my life he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised to him with endless life, he will hold me fast until our faith is turned to sight when he comes at last. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. And this week, thinking about the sacrifice of Jesus this morning and what it means in our lives, and thinking about God's protection and his provision, the pleasure and the purpose that we find in him tonight, we rest in this. It is not up to us. It is not up to us to carry out God's purpose. It is not up to us to protect everything that we find dear in life. It's not us to find our own satisfaction and find our own pleasure. It is in God and God alone. And he will hold us fast. I pray that that will be in our minds and hearts this week as we live for Christ and remember that he will hold us fast. Father, thank you that you do hold us, that you never release us, you never let go, that you gave even your only son, and therefore, because Christ died for us, because Jesus bore the wrath of God for us, he's not going to let something stand up against us to destroy us. He's already stood up against sin and against death and against hell. So work in our lives. Increase our faith and stir our affections toward you. Because we know that if you stood up against sin and death and hell, there's nothing else that you're going to let conquer us. Because you hold us fast. And I pray that we will find that you are our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. That we would be still this week, that we would know that you are God, and that in that you would be exalted among those that are lost, and you'd be exalted in this world. Praise you for your love and goodness. Encourage our church tonight in your precious name. Amen.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved Jesus, oh, for grace to trust.